Now, I'm always glad on Sunday morning or Sunday night or whenever it is to come into the house of the Lord Jesus. It's always a thrill to my heart to be able to come to the house of God and be able to do something for the Lord Jesus. I know that in this life is the only time that we will ever have opportunity, Brother Jim, to do anything for Jesus. The only time that we'll ever have to pray or to fast or to give or to visit the sick or to help a lost soul into the kingdom of God. This is the only life. A lot of people feel they can't do it here. Well, I want you to know that you'll never do it any other time. This is the only time that you'll have to get to church or to the house of God on time. You'll never have that opportunity in the world to come, whether you make it into the world of light or into the regions of the damned. You will never have this opportunity again. I'd like to know how many of you will make a special effort to consider God's house and try to get to God's house on time. How many of you will do it? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. Some of you ain't going to raise your hand because you know you ain't going to do it. That's right. You don't want any responsibility. You don't want the preacher to tell you that you don't want any responsibility, but you don't want any responsibility, and you're not going to raise your hand to make any commitment because you're afraid that you'll have to live up to your word or be found a liar, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That sounds kind of crude, don't it? But my brother and sister, we're messing with God. We're not passing out sugar tits and playing. We're messing with God. We're talking about God's house, God's way of life, and you need to make a commitment and get out of the spiritual rut that you're in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We need to get right with God and get out of this baby doing that we've got of coming to church when we want to, being in a good humor when we want to, and getting up and going out of church when we want to, and just doing any way we want to. Amen. 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 We're not supposed to do that. Right. Praise God. We're supposed to do what God wants to. The Bible said Jesus Christ sought not to please himself, but to please God. Amen. Hallelujah. We come to learn about Jesus, Brother Taylor. We come to do God's will. Jesus said, I come in this world, O God, to do thy will. Hallelujah. I can understand folks being late sometimes. I'm late sometimes. And I can understand that. But the thing is, to be late all the time and just come and we take a good notion, come to church whenever we feel like coming to church. Somebody said, I said, why didn't you come to church? I didn't feel like it. It doesn't make any difference whether you feel like it or not. You're still supposed to come to the house of God. How many of you go to work because you feel like going to work? How many of you get up and clean up your house because you feel like cleaning up your house? I'd hate to come to your house if you just clean it up when you felt like cleaning it up. I tell you, you'd be like in a hog pen. Amen. We don't do things, folks, in this world because we feel like doing them. We do them because it's the right thing to do. Amen. Amen. Tilden gets up every morning and feed the horses. Do you feel like doing it every morning, Tilden? That's good. Praise God for somebody that feels like it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to get people to church, but I praise God for people that feel like coming. Amen. David said, I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So thank God for a twofold thing here. We've got somebody that does it and feels like doing it. Hallelujah. Praise it. Sometimes the way Tilden does it, I really believe, Brother Tommy really does enjoy doing something for Jesus. Amen. But now, I want to ask you again, how many of you going to make a special effort to get to the house of God on time? Let me see your hand. Come on, folks, raise your hands up. My lands, don't sit back there like that. Amen. I'm not scolding you. I'm exhorting you. The Bible said exhort each other more as you see the day approaching. You say, but you do it too loud. Well, the Bible said lift up your voice like a trumpet. You ever been in the army? Amen. When they sound it in the morning, it means for you to get up. Wake up. Praise God. They say it like they mean it so you'll wake up. You have to say it to some folks like you mean it, Brother Sale, to get them to wake up. Hallelujah. Like Brother Brandon used to say, he said, I don't mean to say things so hard, but said, I want to nail the board on where the wind don't blow it off. You just tack it up there, a good wind come by, and it'll be in. Amen. So I'm not scolding you, I'm exhorting you. We need some system. Now, how many believe that God's a systematic God? Amen. Scientists say the stars and the moon and the sun comes up on time, and they say there's such a tiny variation between it, year after year, until it's absolutely astounding. So then, if God is that sure and that precise in setting those huge bodies, I know that he's going to expect something out of you and I when we say we're sons of God. Amen. How can you be a son of God and have no order about you and no real control over your spirit? You just eat till you get tired eating. No system about it. It's like a beast, you know. You put stuff in a pig trough and it just eat till ain't no more. It just eat till ain't no more. The more you eat, the bigger you get. The bigger you get, the more you eat. Amen. The same way with sleeping. You just sleep and sleep and sleep, and the more you sleep, the more you want to sleep. And the more you sleep, the weaker you get. And the weaker you get, the more you want to sleep. Same way with laziness. If you don't go out and work on a job, the more you stealth of a job, the more you want to stealth of a job. Because your body gets in a state of lethargy. It gets to where it can't do anything. And Brother Thomas gets where it don't want to do nothing. Amen. Just plain laziness. Amen. Same way with giving to God. Is that right? Amen. The same way with sacrificing and fasting and prayer. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. Amen. So we need to get some system, folks, about us. Praise God. I love you. And I want to exhort you. When you come to the house of the Lord, I want you to praise God. I want you to lift your hands up and say, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. That's why we come here, to praise God. Not just to sit down and go to sleep or get in a slothful state, not doing anything for God. I know some of you don't like what I'm doing. I know you don't. You ain't never liked it since I've been pastoring. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul said, if I please men, then I'm not called to please God. So I'm not caring whether you like it or not. I'm not. You want me to say it again? I said, I'm not. I want to please God. And them that belong to God will hear my voice. And them that belong to God will obey my voice. For Jesus said, if they love me, they'll love you. If they obey me, they'll obey you. Amen. And if they don't obey you, they won't obey me. Praise God. Start preaching the first thing this morning. Amen. We need a little system, you know, to shake some devils loose and shake some evil spirits out of people. Get them out of the church and get them out of the little leaven, leaven at the old lump. Get them out of the home. Get them out of the minds. Praise God. Amen. A good boxer is one that can get up after a man punches him in the nose and his nose start bleeding, shake hands with him, say, let's go fighting. That's a good boxer. Amen. A bad boxer is one you can punch in the nose when he gets down. He wants to pull the gloves off and quick you turn your back, he'll stab you in the back with a knife. That's right. Amen. That's right. So then let's stand up for Jesus. How many of you volunteered for this job? Amen. I said, how many of you volunteered for this job? I volunteered for it. Praise God. And I'm glad of it. Don't want to back out of it. Amen. I volunteered for it. Praise the Lord. We got a lot of people, you know, that they're like a prancing mare. They come around you doing something, they kick up the heels and hit a few licks, and they're going to show you how to do it in about 15 minutes. They're gone. Don't get back till the job gets done. Amen. Others have got excuses why they can't do it. Amen. Work 8 and 10 hours on a job, 15 hours on a job, and then when you got something to do for God, it is so weak they can't do it. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God. So then, when I ask for a response out of you, now I won't talk to you about offerings like this. Just give you want to. If you don't, well, that's your business. But when it comes to the Word of God, I want to shake you up. I want you to know what I expect out of you. I expect you to be real soldiers for God. Somebody said, well, you talk like that much, and I'll go AWOL. That's all right. That's all right. They got some guard houses for that. That's right. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way. He'll deliver thee to the judge and put you in the guard house. Amen. The prison. Amen. Well, Tom, you've had some experience on that, haven't you? I ain't never been to guardhouse. I've been locked up one time for a few minutes. I didn't like it. Amen. It didn't take but that few minutes to let me know I didn't like it. I think John's had some experience in that, too. Praise God. So then, I love you, and I'm not scolding you, but I just, it seemed like that we get into a state of I don't know what. We seem to get into a state in our mind where we're living in our mind instead of in our heart. And like we come to churches like we expect preacher. Don't say nothing too loud and don't say nothing out of key now because I ain't in a good mood this morning. So like we expect him to. Don't you know if a preacher done that he'd be the most warped up person in the world because everybody comes in a different frame of mind. I said everybody that comes to church, almost every individual is in a different frame of mind. One's upset at his wife, and the wife's jealous of the husband. And the little boy didn't like what the mama said, and Susie didn't like what she had for breakfast, and everybody's all in a mess. Somebody didn't like it because he didn't get a dress, and another fella, he didn't like it because he had to buy a dress, and it's a mess. That's what it is. Now you expect me to conform to that? What kind of a freak would I be? You're supposed to come in and conform to the Word of God and to the mind of Jesus Christ to be of one mind and one accord as it was on the day of Pentecost. That's why the Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. If you've got a heart of thanksgiving and praise when you come in, you're in the right mind. If you come in with any other thoughts, you're not in the right mind. Amen. That's what the preacher's for, is to rebuke you. Amen. To sharpen you. To get you into the right mind. How can the Holy Spirit move if you're in a dozen different frames of mind? Somebody said you hurt my feelings from the very start because you said something about eating, and that's my pet. I said, that's my pet hobby. You said something about eating, and that's my pet hobby, so you hurt my feelings. I won't be no more good to you this morning. That's right. Amen. Hit somebody else's pet hobby, and that's potting. I won't be no more good to you this morning. You hurt my feelings. And somebody else is full of love, you know. That's right. They're just as full of love as they can be. If you say anything to cross them, you hurt me. That's right. They're full of love. Love for themselves. Love for their ideas. Love for their ways. Love for what they want to do and the way they want people to treat them. But we need somebody full of love of God that's going to treat people the way Christ wanted them treated. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, well, you hurt my feelings. Christ never did do that. Amen. You never did listen to him long enough for him to hurt him. If you listen to him, you'll hurt him sometimes. Amen. Because the Bible said rebuke and chastisement is grievous for the moment. But afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Afterwards. He hurt Peter's feelings, didn't he? When he said, get behind me, Satan, after you just give him the keys of the kingdom. He hurt his feelings. And I tell you, some of you ain't going to get very far because you hurt your feelings too much. You get your feelings hurt too much. I said, you'll never do anything for God. You'll never be anything for God because all you are is a big bundle of self-righteousness and feelings. That's what you are. Amen. That's right. I want that thing to stick. That's right. But some of you have gone to the cross and some of you have died out. I ain't got a whole lot of them. It's no wonder Jesus said, few there be that find it, because when I start searching for them, it's hard for me to find them. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Amen. Praise God. I praise God for Danny and Joe and Lonnie. I do. I praise God for these three. As three boys, I hardly ever pick up their spirits contrary to me. They don't always agree with what I say, but I hardly ever pick up even the children, the boys and girls, acting like their mamas and daddies. I won't preach on that this morning if I get a chance. That's right. You can tell. You can sure tell the fruit. Tell what kind of tree it come from, because it'll be just like the mama and daddy. That's right. But I praise God because once in a while a boy or girl will overcome daddy and mama and be some real, genuine Christians. Amen. I appreciate these three boys. I really appreciate them. They're young boys, but I check their spirits day after day. Not that I look for it, but I can feel it. I can feel it. That's right, I can feel it. I can tell when there's evil spirits got a hold to you.
Amen.
Praise God. Now then, I want to apologize for Danny and Stevie being late because I asked them to run to the store this morning. They had a few minutes, and I thought they'd get back in time, but they didn't. They got back a little late, so it wasn't their fault. But the rest of us folks, including me, we need to consider God.
Amen.
Now from now on, I want you to make a special effort to get to church on Sunday morning on time. Now, you get to work on time.
Amen.
Mama, you drag Daddy out by the ears and get him to the job on time. That's right. Some of you just about that bad off. You say, do you really believe I'd do that? Well, you'd hack and smack and argue and fuss and walk through the trailer. We ain't going to be able to pay the bills. You ain't going to work this morning? And over and around. That's to get Daddy off on the job. Now, is that more important than getting to the house of the Lord? Tell me, children of God, is that more important than getting to the house of God? Then why doesn't Mama do something to get the children to the house of God on time and get Daddy to the house of God on time? Why do you always drag it out and want to be there late? Why? Tell me why. What is your excuse? What is your reason? You say, well, we ain't got a car. Well, you need to buy one. Amen. If you can't buy one, get down and pray till God gives you one. You say, do you expect him to do that? He said he'd supply all your needs. How many think we need to go to the house of God on time? I believe he will. He don't give you nothing but a horse and a buggy. Amen. You say, well, I don't see that. Well, Dan used to come around in the horse and the buggy over in Mississippi. See him come down the road with his horse and buggy. That's right. All right, so then I believe that we ought to do something. Make a little effort to get to the house of God on time, in the morning and at night. Now, I'd like for somebody to visit with Brother Gerald and tell him to come to the house of the Lord. That's right, I would. He'd been out 2 or 3 times. I'd like me to visit with him. He might be sick. Something could be wrong with him. Go over and tell him that we miss him at the house of God. And we'd like for him to come to the house of the Lord. And these other people that stand out, I don't know your name, but if I think of it, I'll call it. Go over and visit with them. Tell them it's the house of God out here. And we're worshiping the Lord. I want you to come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Praise God. We want to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a little hard for me to understand why folks stay out so close by when Bob comes so far. It's going to be hard for God to understand too. It's going to be hard for God to understand too.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I don't like your way of preaching. Well, you never call me. I said, you wasn't the one to call me. Amen. Praise God. Now, if I ever let you call me, then I'll preach what you want me to preach. But since you didn't call me, I have to preach for the fellow that called me. He that God sent that will speak God's word. And I think we need to do something. We need to quit this running out of church and going in and out like London bridges and the children running around and around. And I know you say that I'm this and I'm that and I'm all kind of things because I come against that. But I don't see how in the world that I'm going to keep the children from running in and out if the grown-ups are going to go in and out. I don't see how I can do it. I don't see how I can tell the children it's right for them staying here if the grown-ups are going to go out there. And every time I go to preach a sermon that you don't like or say something you don't like that you up and go out, I don't see how in the world you're going to ever get your children. It's no wonder your children do like they do. It's because of the way you do. I know you don't like it, but it's still so. Amen. Glory to God, I feel your mean, haughty, rebellious spirits rising up when I say those things. They rose up and stoned Stephen to death, but it's still so. Stephen said, stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart, you do always err. He said, as your fathers did, so do you by resisting the Holy Ghost. You come here and resist the Holy Ghost when I try to exhort you and tell you what the Holy Ghost has told me. And then you resist it because you're stiff necked. Stubborn, rebellious, resentful.
Amen.
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 Uncircumcised in heart. If you wasn't uncircumcised in heart, you wouldn't have that kind of attitude. Some of you ladies that think you called a preacher, some of the worst of them. I said, you're some of the worst of them. Amen. I find more trouble out of some of you than anybody else a lot of times. That's right. Because you think you've got a special privilege. And some of you men are the same way.
Amen.
I preach to you in a minute. I'm exhorting you right now. Amen. Some of you men are the same way. You think because you called to preach, you got a special privilege or a special hold on God. You can give when you want to and not give when you want to and put it where you want to and do like you want to and come to church when you get ready and go to the churches you want to go to, but you're going to die and go to hell. I said, you're going to die and go to hell. A preacher doesn't go to the church where he wants to go to. He doesn't do what he wants to do. He's supposed to be more in control to God than anybody else. Because he is the example. He's supposed to be following the leadership of the Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. Some of you really get next to me. Tell me you're called to preach. And you ain't got out of diapers. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Like somebody had a dream about one of you and saw you in your diapers. Trying to preach. Stand up trying to preach. And there you stood in your diapers. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Do like Brother David Terrell. He gets so used to saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, till every few minutes saying, praise the Lord. So that's what we need to do. Praise the Lord.
Praise
glory to God. Everything he says, say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Ernie, you shake hands with me, say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. How many like to praise the Lord?
Amen.
Somebody said, but you done hurt my feelings, Brother Pike. You done killed my spirit. Well, praise God, I've been trying a long time to kill it. I'm glad at last I got it dead. And now, if I can get you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we got the resurrection and the light here that'll give you a spirit that nobody else will ever kill. Amen, because it's eternal life and you can't hurt it. Praise God, I hope I killed it. I tried so hard to kill that evil spirit you got, and that carnal spirit you got, and that carnal surmising that you got, that hypocrisy that you got, that you think is the Word of God and the way of God. I tried to kill it. Amen. If I haven't done it, I apologize, because I sure tried hard enough. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I said, everybody's got eternal life, and I killed it. I want you to hold up your hand. You know, that'd make you look like a fool, wouldn't it? Whoever killed or whoever heard of killing eternal life. If you could kill it wouldn't be eternal life, would it?
Right,
I said you couldn't kill it because it's eternal life. If it dies, that means it's not eternal life.
Amen.
So then I want to talk to you like men.
Amen.
Women. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know what I'd like to do some mornings? I don't do this. I just kind of raise my voice and, but you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to come back there because we've got some precious people, Brother John, in our midst. People that love God. People that are trying to serve God. And you have to send the rain on the just and the unjust. When the blessing comes, the hypocrites and the briars, they drink it in, you know. And that grieves God. Somebody say, well, God loves us just like He loves you. God doesn't love hypocrisy. God doesn't love a hypocritical act. God doesn't love you when you're disobedient. The Bible said God's angry with you every day. Amen. Your prayers are abomination in His sight. Your offerings are abomination in His sight. And everything that you do is abomination in the sight of God. And He'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. What I'd like to do is go back there and get all the briars and line them up. I know them. And I'd like to line them up because I'm trying to get to them when I raise my voice. And a lot of times, the little children of God and the real sheep of God, they have to take the abuse, you know, to try to be able to reach the briars. I'd like to get them out and line them up one by one and call their name and show you who they are. But I can't do that. The Bible said if you pluck up the tare, you'll get the wheat. You know why? Because some of you live such a shadow life, you don't know a tare from a wheat. Amen. You get your roots wrapped around a tare, and then when the preacher tries to get it out, you get all upset and you run off and then you act up. And that really causes a problem. Amen. Amen. So, since I can't do it no other way, I have to do it this way. Amen. Somebody said, but I feel like you was talking to me. Well, if he's a sheep, he wouldn't. I said, if he's a sheep, he wouldn't. If he's a sheep, he wouldn't. Amen. What's your guilt? What's your guilt? You say, but I've been doing wrong. Well, you ain't got no business doing it if you're a sheep. What business has a sheep got chewing on rags? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So then, since I can't do it the other way, I have to do it this way. And when a person just keeps on and keeps on, after a while I have to start calling some names. That's the way Paul did.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Some of us, I think you're too severe, Brother Pike. I wonder if Paul was too severe when he turned and said, thou child of the devil, full of all subtlety, deceitfulness and all these things. I should be blind for a season. Now, I think he's getting a little stronger than me, don't you think so? I said, when he went back and got the fella and put his hands on him, so to speak, and said, you devil, you're going to be blind for a season. Let's get a little bit further along than I've got this morning. Is that right? So they seem like I got some ground to move up. I still can go a little bit stronger. So don't feel bad. Somebody said, you done hurt my feelings and you done awfully. And I'll take me weeks to get over this. Amen. I don't know just exactly how long it took him to get over it, except for a season. Taking quite a while, though. Amen. See, we're not playing London Bridges, folks. Amen. I love you. I love the Lord, but it looks to me like things is getting out of hand here of late. Don't want to get to church on time. Go in and out when you get ready. Just do any way you want to. Amen. Praise God. If I didn't say something sometimes, I don't know what would happen to us. Somebody got to say something. You say, well, I would, Brother Pike, but I'm afraid I hurt their feelings. Well, I tell you what, I never seen a God called preacher that God ever sent that didn't hurt somebody's feelings. I never have met one. All this slick talking devil that calls himself a preacher. I never seen one of them that didn't cause a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Because they want everybody to speak well of them. They did that to the false prophets.
Amen.
Amen. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Just so easy going. And just as deceitful and cunning as a snake. And their bite's just as poison. Amen. Give me a rude fellow that comes out of the wilderness like John the Baptist. It says the axe is laid under the root of the tree. And who warned you, generation of vipers, that flee from the wrath of God to come? That's the kind of preachers they had then. Because that was the nature of Christ. And it's still the same today. You say, Brother Pike, God is love. Do you think he called anybody a viper? I do.
Amen.
I said, I do. Amen. But you say he's love, Brother Pike. That's why he took a whip. And got in there and began to wrap around and turn the tables over and get disturbed about things because he was love.
Right.
Amen. I said this and I want to pass it on to you again this morning. If you had a herd of sheep or a flock of sheep out here somewhere and you'd done everything you could to help a sick sheep and you know that that was a contagious disease that everybody else was going to catch or every other sheep was going to catch and you just oiled and you scraped and you bandaged up and you'd cuddled and done everything and that thing was still dying, what would you do? What would be mercy? What would be love? To keep him in there and let him contaminate the flock or to get him out of there? That's what I'm trying to do, is single out some folks this morning. That's what I'm trying to single them out. So you can see that they're sick. That's right. Jesus said people are full of sin, sick. Need a physician. Amen. You say, well, go help them. You can't help them unless they want to be helped. Brother Tom, you can go out there and help them. It's blind. It don't know their way. But when people come to the light and they still want to stay sick, you can't help them kind of folks. Because they're using their sickness to get people's sympathy. That's the reason a lot of people don't get healed when it comes to your natural healing. Amen. You want to be have faith at church and get healed at church, but when you want your way with your husband, you want to be melancholy and have him to think you're run down and sick so he'll let you have your way. Same way with the husband. I said same way with the husband. Amen. You ain't never going to get healed like that. Faith don't work like that. You've got a devil. You've got a devil. You need to get rid of it. Now, I can see him lurking in the shadows around here, in and out, you notice. I want to do something about it. Now then, you say, you call me a wolf, Brother Pike? I'm talking about evil spirits. I hope you don't have one. I hope you don't have one. Amen. You think Jesus meant Peter was a devil? How many believe Jesus meant Peter was a devil? Let me see your hand. You believe that he believed that Peter was Satan? If he did, why did he give him the keys of the kingdom? Did he turn around and say, get thee behind me, Satan? Is that what he said? You think he thought Peter was Satan? No, he knew Satan from Peter. He just knew Peter was giving Satan the place to lodge, and he didn't have no business doing it that side. That's what I'm telling you. You need to quit giving him a lodging place. And if you don't want to be numbered with a harlot, then stay away from one. If you don't want to be numbered with a drunkard, stay away from one.
Amen.
If I see you with a drunkard, then I'm going to figure birds of a feather flock together. That's the old saying. That's right, and it bears out in the scripture. So then, you fellowship good angels and good spirits. Hallelujah. You know what they'll teach you to do? They'll come to the house of the Lord on time. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, you expect us to get here right on time? I'd like for you to. But I tell you what, I didn't think too much about it. We was 10 minutes late and 5 minutes late and got to be 30 minutes late and 40 minutes late. And finally, we just got to come in whenever we took a notion. I know that sounds pathetic, but if you confess honesty in your heart, you'll know that you're coming to church whenever you take a notion. You're taking as long as you want to do whatever you want to, and then you're coming whenever you take a notion. That isn't right, folks. You say, but Brother Pike, I work hard. I do certain things. That ain't got nothing to do with coming to the house of God on time. Amen. Before the God of heaven, I'm telling you the truth. I've worked all day till I couldn't preach a sermon and still get to the house of God on time and before church time. I've done it when I was on the evangelistic field. Amen. A lot of times I'm late here. And one of the reasons is because I don't want to come down here and start talking if I got my mind on God. I'll take 5 or 10 minutes if you can get in the church and get seated tonight and just come right on in. That's right. If you're doing it for God, Brother Tom, I can see it. But just doing it, I can't see that.
Amen.
Praise God. You love the Lord?
Praise God.
We sure do use God for excuse a lot of times, though. Amen. Amen. Now then, brethren, let's be men and let's stop this business about being sick and can't come to the house of God. Don't you know if you're sick, that's where you ought to be in the house of God. You wouldn't be sick if you'd go to the house of God more. The fact that you stay out, that's the reason you're so sick. That's right. Visit these brethren. Go over and talk to them and tell them they're wrong. That is procrastination on God. It's a disgrace in the sight of God to name Christianity, especially to say I'm a preacher. Go anywhere you want to and come to church anytime you want to and do any way you want to. Go talk to them, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. If a mother can't get her young'uns ready on time, go have a talk with that mother. Say, Mother, what's the matter with you? I got 5 children and I get there full church time. What's the matter with you? You can't get your 3 ready. That's right. That's right. Amen. Somebody said, when are you going to preach? I've been preaching all the time.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Been preaching all the time. You just didn't have enough to recognize it. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's stand together. Now, we didn't get to have the praise service that we usually have on Sunday morning that I like to have. One reason is because some of them were late coming this morning, even our local people. And we need to come to the house of the Lord as near on time as we can, if it's where we can. And I appreciate every one of you, and I appreciate having our visitors. And tonight, we're looking forward to God blessing us tonight as well as this morning. I believe that God has blessed us this morning if we know how to receive the things that God tries to tell us. And a lot of times I know that you are prone to wonder why that I'm so strict and straight on people that are so easygoing and that never have any comeback. But usually, as a rule, these people are sex perverts. Everywhere you find them, as a rule, they're sex perverts. And that's why I'm like I am about it. You find a man that's not a sex pervert, he's a man. He's a man. Amen. You're going to get a little rebuke out of him once in a while. He's going to be a little repulsive. And sometimes he's going to say a few things you don't like. Because he's a man. And what we want to do is find men like this and mold them into the character of our Lord Jesus and into the mind of our Lord Jesus to where they will come right down the line. Satan is not hid, folks. He's not hid. He thinks he's hid, but he's not hid to the Holy Spirit. So then, if you are a real man, then act like a real man. Stand up like a real man. Praise God and be masculine. That's the way God made you. If you're not like that, there's something wrong with you. Praise God. It's like a little child. If a little child doesn't act like a little child, Brother Junior, they're perverted. Something's wrong with them. Because they're supposed to act like a little child. God made them to act like a little child. And you're supposed to mold their character into manhood. Somebody said, well, you can't make grown-ups out of children. Somebody said one time, if you don't make them out of children, what are you going to make them out of? So that's the only way you can make them, is to take children. But you can always watch a man that's real easygoing, just ain't got no real stability about him. He's always, you'll find him to be a sex pervert, or he's one that a woman has got under her control that he'll never be any good to himself, to God, or anybody else. He's just led around on a string like a puppet. This is always the case. I've never seen it fail. Not one case has ever failed. So I know it ain't going to fail down. But now, if you want to be like Jesus, somebody said, well, the reason I try to be easygoing, because that's the way Jesus was. I don't know where you ever read that. I don't know where you ever got that. Jesus wasn't that type of person. That was Satan. That was Satan. The Bible said Satan humbled himself. He does it to get what he wants. That's right. But Jesus was just what he was. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And Paul said, though I be rude in speech, yet not knowledge. The man that God sent was rude in speech. They had to be to carry on what they was doing. But you'll find this seminary thing, you know. Get them fresh out of college and out of seminary, and they made a woman out of them. Made them easygoing. Good business, you know. I've been along that line. I know some of that stuff. You know, salesman, I used to do a little selling. The customer's always right, you know. You don't never raise your voice and don't never upset him. You just slit his throat while he ain't looking. That's right. You just ease in. You ever seen anybody could just ease in? They just talk real nice to you and just cutting your throat all the time. You ever see that like that? Amen. That's an evil spirit. But a real man, he'll just stand up and he'll He won't abuse you, but he'll talk to you right. You'll know he's a man. Praise God, you'll know he's a man. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, don't you? Amen. Praise God. I want to talk with you a little bit, if you don't mind. And Jesus said, I have a lot of things to say. Can't say them all, but I'd like to say some of them. Many things to say, and yet sometimes we're dull of hearing. It's kind of hard to say them. Now, but I want to read a few scriptures, if you'll bear with me, and try to exhort you a little bit this morning. I want to say again, I really appreciate those that's come over such a long ways to be with us. And we always enjoy the people dropping in on us from the places that are so far away. So, if you got your Bibles, let's read just a little bit, will you? Now, I want to read quite a bit of scripture, beginning in the book of St. John and reading from the 12th chapter. Tilden, can you get us a little swallow of water, sonny boy? It gets kind of dry when we kick up the dust in here. I think I'll start in the 12th chapter and begin at the 34th verse. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now, let's read right here in the 9th verse. "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean. Every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter. Therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He that then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, and he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, I want you to notice in the 46th verse, Jesus used the term here that I am come a light. I am come a light. And we know that Jesus came as flesh and as blood into the world. We know that he did. And we know that he was ever bit a man, just like we are man. He eat just like we eat. He drank wine. He sat and drank wine. I know a lot of people today, you know, you drank a sip of wine and they'd say that you was a wine bibber. Well, they did that to Jesus too. They said Jesus was a wine bibber. But he did everything to show himself a man. He was a man. But his mission in the world wasn't to be a man, but it was to be a light. A light. We sang the song a lot of times, send the light, send the gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. And Jesus said, I am come to be a light. He said, I did not come into the world to judge the world. I know a lot of times people get off key on this. I've seen people use this, you know. They say, well, the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to judge the world, nor he didn't come to condemn the world. And that's true. Jesus never come to judge the world. Nor did he come to condemn the world, but he came that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved. He said, I come to save the world, not to judge it, not to condemn it, but to save it. But there's one thing that you can get off on if you're not careful. Jesus never stated anywhere in the Scriptures that he did not come to condemn sin in the flesh. Though he came not to condemn the world, but he did come to condemn sin in the flesh. So then the minister's job is not to condemn the people, but it's to preach the gospel of love to them. For Jesus said, I give a commandment of love to you, a new commandment I give unto you, and that commandment is that you love one another. Not in word. Now you say, Brother Pike, I love my fellow man. If you loved your fellow man, you would tell your fellow man the truth if it hurt his feelings. Jesus loved Peter. He was the example of love. He was the God of love manifested in the flesh. And he went to Peter, and though he had given Peter the keys to the kingdom, he had gave Peter the leading position among the disciples. You say, Brother Pike, did God give him the leading position? The Bible said he made a difference. Peter said, you know how God made a difference among us. Choosing me, he said, for this certain work. And Paul speaks of overseers in the church. Amen. We say God's no respecter of person. That's true. But God chooses us, Brother Boss, according to what he knows is our several ability and what he will do. Amen. Amen. So then Peter, Jesus spoke to him in love. He chose him for a great job. It looks like that the ones that God has chosen for the great job gets rebuked more.
I said, the one that's God going to use, that's the one that he deals with. For he said, be not weary in well-doing. For if you endure chastisement, then God dealeth with you as a son. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you mean that if God chasing me, that means I'm a son? No. Amen. Because you run into trouble, that doesn't mean that you're a son. No. He said, if you will endure chastening, if you will receive chastening, if you will be zealous and repent when you're chastened, then God deals with you as a son. Amen. Praise God. Everybody has troubles. For the Bible tells us that man that's born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Life is like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. It's swifter than a shuttle. Amen. But if we endure chastening, if we will receive chastening, this is why I speak to you, brethren, like I do, and to the sisters, that you'll receive the things I tell you. Jesus said, if you receive him that I sent, you receive me. If you reject him I sent, you're automatically in trouble with God, my brother. I don't care how you feel about it. You say, I'll go over to the next church. I'll go over to the next preacher. I'll find out somebody that'll tell me a little bit different. But when you reject the minister that God sent, it doesn't matter where you go. The wrath of God abideth upon you. Amen. So you can't go to another church. I've often said this, that if you do go to another church, and if it's a God-sent church, and a God-sent minister, he's going to tell you the same thing that I told you, that Brother Tommy told you, Brother Al and these other ministers told you. It's going to be the same thing. Why? Because God doesn't give himself to change. The Bible said, don't bother with them that are given to change. Don't fellowship them that are given to change. Why? Because that's not the nature of Jesus Christ. When you find a person that's got one kind of atmosphere about him today, another kind of atmosphere about him tomorrow, that's wrong. If you're a man that stands up for the gospel yesterday, you'll stand up for it today. Brother Tommy, if you rebuked a man yesterday, the next man that comes forth, you better watch out because you'll rebuke him today. You don't have any respect to person. Amen. Because you're God's man. You're sent for the purpose of preaching the gospel. And you can't do anything else. Jesus said, for the Father sent me, said he indoctrinated me. Jesus said he indoctrinated me. Glory to God, before he ever sends you, he's going to indoctrinate you too. I know you don't want to take time to listen at him. You feel like you've got to shout and jump and hoop and holler and you're ready to go. But I tell you, before he ever sends you, he's going to do you like he did Moses. He's going to take you to the backside of the desert and indoctrinate you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when he got Jesus thoroughly indoctrinated, he turned him loose. The priesthood was at the age of 30. Somebody said, but he was God. I know it. At the age of 12, he amazed the wise men. But he didn't leave his dad and mother, did he? Amen. I said he was ready to preach, but he stayed with his parents. Hallelujah, because it was a rule. God had a pattern. And that pattern was they didn't go out till he was 30 years old. The priesthood began at 30. Somebody said, but my, if he wasted his 30, he's going to die at 33. His ministry would be all over in a few years. Why, he needs to get on out there, somebody said. After all, you're going to wait till, you say, I'll wait till I get bald-headed, and then who's going to look at my magazine? Amen. I lose a film of teeth. That's right. Get a new set like Brother Taylor's got. Amen. Then who's going to pay attention to me? Amen. I won't look like a super-duper doll. Amen. But Jesus didn't care about that, did he? I said, he didn't care about pretty faces, did he? Glory to God, he had a job to do. The Bible said he was a man of sorrow. Acquainted with grief, he had no beauty that any should desire him. Hallelujah, he wasn't interested in that. But he was a real man of God. Hallelujah, I think of it so often. Oh, come back to me. I ain't got time to stop and tarry. I've got a message I must carry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, how do you know you're a preacher? Because that's all I ever think about. I tell you, if I ain't a preacher, I must be the most mixed up fellow in the world. Because that's all that stays on my mind. Glory to God is satisfying Jesus Christ. Satisfying God. Being ready when I press my death pillow or when God calls for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, how you know Brother Taylor's called to sing? Because he's one of the singingest fellows I ever seen in my life. That's right. We took him into the islands and he sang and sang and sang and sang and sang until them people were sweating just like they'd been working in a coal mine. It's about as black too. That's right. But I'll tell you what, they worshiped God, didn't they, Brother Taylor? Glory to God, they had a good time, Brother Zale. They wasn't educated, they didn't know philosophy, but they know how to say hallelujah. Glory to God, and they lifted their hand up and said, glory to God, praise God. And you could feel something when he did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, I'm come alive in the world. But he said, the judgment is that men love darkness. He said, I'm a light. I'm a reproof. I'm a stumbling stone. But he said, the trouble in the world is that men love the carnal thoughts. They love it because it soothes the flesh. It justifies the flesh. It makes the flesh feel better if it can deny the word of God that says you're in transgression, that says you've done wrong. If you'll just listen to the darkness, it'll talk to you and it'll tell you, well, don't feel bad. After all, you didn't really do anything. You didn't do anything, my brother, my sister. One thing you did, that's just transgress the laws of heaven and earth, violate the ordinance of the greatest king that ever lived. If you'd have done that in the Old Testament, just cut across one little bit of the commandment of the king that has stoned you to death. Amen. That's all you did. Somebody said, well, my conscience didn't condemn me. I'm not surprised it didn't condemn you. The things that you've done, how in the world can you even tell you yourself that you've got a conscience? The Bible said some of you seared your conscience with a hot iron. Why, you've done so many things wrong till you don't feel like you'll go to hell anymore. You try to tell people, you say, folks, the Bible said if you do that, you'll die and go to hell. They say, well, I don't feel bad at it. I don't have any bad feelings, Brother Tom. So I say, well, I feel the Spirit of God. Well, they come to church, say, you say, you ought not to have done that, my brother. That was against the Word of God. They say, but yeah. And they say, you know, I was worried about that too till after I'd done it and said it doesn't bother me a bit anymore. No. No, they say, I found out I can feel the Spirit of God just as good as I did before I done it. That's true. I said, that's true. The Spirit of God, my brother and sister, will come down upon you. I don't care if you're the biggest drunkard that ever walked on the earth. It will still come upon you. Because the Bible said God's pointed out upon all flesh. But that's not what saves a person. That's not salvation. That's why that I say what I do so much about all the running and jumping. I love to see people shout. I love to see them sing. I love to see them praise God. If they're ignorant of the knowledge of God like them people was over in the island that don't know too much about the Word of God, and when the Holy Ghost comes upon me, shout and holler and scream, that's all right. Amen. And if you're here in America, and if you're living the Word of God and obeying the Word of God, you can run and snort and jump and holler and scream, that's all right. But when you know God's Word, and then you're not obeying it, you got no right to holler and scream. Amen. 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 Praise God. Somebody said, well, the Bible said God's a consuming fire. I used to be in the ranges, and the way we fought wildfire was with fire. God trained me. I said, he indoctrinated me before he sent me. Amen. Used to we go out and catch a wildfire, burning through the forest. That's right. Then we'd get that thing under control by going around setting a new fire. That's right. And then we'd watch the fire from this side and let the fire fight the fire. Amen. Amen. So when the devil gets a hold of you, we want the Holy Ghost to get a hold of us. Amen. Amen. Let them fight it out. They know what to do. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Fight fire with fire. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why some of you, sometimes I feel you rise up and puff up and huff up. But just as quick as the Holy Ghost comes, you huff back down. Amen. Because the devil ain't afraid of me, and he'll huff up at me. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he gets afraid, and he huffs back down. God takes all the air and the puff out of him. Praise God. Now then, Jesus said, I've come to be a light. But the carnal mind, it'll tell you, there ain't nothing to worry about. There ain't nothing to worry about. You say, I feel the Spirit of God. Sure, you can do it. Sure, you can do it. You can come to the house of God, you can feel the Spirit of God. Sure, you lift your hands up, start praising God, you feel the Spirit of God. That's why we've got so many false ministers going across the nation and preaching and having miracles. That's right. That's why we've got those kind of things. Because people can feel the Spirit of God. That's why women say they're called to preach. Amen. That's right. mind sex perverts. They feel the Spirit just like you feel it. That's right. Satan talked to you about the love of God, the Word of God, and golf, and be as filthy as a hog in a slop hole. Amen. They can do it, Brother Al. That's right. Man up in Canada, we was preaching up there. Some of you have heard me relate it. Many years ago, preaching up there, and this man told me to my face, said, "You don't know how to win souls." I said, "Well, how do you win souls?" I was fairly young in the ministry. I want to know how. And he was supposed to be an elder. I said, "Well, how do you do it?" He had a church there among the Indians. And I said, "Well, how do you do it?" He said, "Well, what I always do," said, "if I go down to the bar and there's somebody sitting there and I want to get to them about God, should I go get me a drink?" And so I sat there and we sip on it together and I tell them about Jesus. He said, "If I meet a fellow that's bad about cursing," said, "I show him I can get right in there with him. I curse just as much as he does." He said, "It ain't long before I got him, so I didn't want him." Well, I was just about as baffled as a fellow could be. I was standing in that man's home and running that man a revival at his church. And here he was trying to indoctrinate with me with how to win souls. You understand what I'm saying? I said, "Man, you're all mixed up." He said, "You mean you question my integrity with God and you don't believe I can feel God?" He pulled up his sleeve, got real pious like, and the hair stood up on his arm. He said, "You see that? Little goose pimples come all over him." You say, "Brother Pike, did that man feel God?" He certainly did. He certainly did. He had killed his conscience and got to a place to where he could lift his faith up. Nothing didn't bother him. He had learned about the days of grace and knew that God was pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he just sat right there and enjoyed the beast. But that don't make you a Christian, my brother and sister. The Bible said a child is known by his doing. It's according to your nature. It's what your nature does. A tree bears according to its nature, Brother Gonzalez. Amen. And the conformity is according to the nature. Amen. Tom's little boy's going to look like Tom. Amen. He's going to have the characteristics of Tom. He's going to look like Tom. Because that's the tree come from. Amen. Brother Gonzalez's boy's going to do the same thing. I know you can overcome some characteristics. I realize that. Only through God. Scientists say when a man's mind's made up, you can't change it. There ain't no way you can do it. But God can work the miraculous. The way he does, he has to let you die and then resurrect you a new creature. That's how he changes characteristics. But as long as you're alive, you're going to look just like the tree you come from. Amen. That's right, my brother and sister. So then it's your nature. It's what your nature is, Brother John. That's what determines what you are. It's what you do every day. The way you think every day. The way you walk every day. The way you receive the man of God when the prophet of the Lord comes to you. Amen. You say, "But I'm a preacher, Brother Pike." I'm a preacher too. Bless your heart. When Tom comes to me, I shake and tremble. When Al comes to me, I shake and tremble. When Brother Taylor comes to me, I shake and tremble. Amen. Bob said he's been up and down like a seesaw in the last year or two. The devil's given such a hard time. But brother, I got enough respect for God in his life. When he comes to me, I shake and tremble. Because I know God speaks to him. And any time he may look at me and point his finger and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Somebody said, "Well, he might not be doing too good." Balaam wasn't doing too good either. But bless your heart, when he said something, it came to pass. The Bible said when he cursed somebody, they were cursed. When he blessed somebody, they was blessed, Brother Gonzalez. Amen. Amen. David made a great mistake and brought Israel into the judgments of God. But brother, when he said cut somebody's head off, they still cut it off. Amen. Amen. When he gave the charge to Solomon to kill a few people that caused him trouble, Solomon didn't spare the sword. Amen. Amen. Some folks are so feminist they don't even know how to use a sword. Glory to God. David got somebody over there and a feller had done wrong, been a mean character, and here he come up, and the devil humbles himself. That's right, humbles himself. And this evil spirit got in that man over there, and that man had done evil. And then when he thought he's gonna cost him his life, he got real humble, Come over into camp and David said, "Kill him." And the fella, he took the sword and he couldn't do that. He's too feminist, David said, "Give me the sword." Zip, 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 and that was it. That's right. Somebody said, "But he wasn't a prophet. The Bible said he was a prophet." Then I said, "Well, that was just David. David's just a hard-hearted David." The Bible said over there, when Saul had disobeyed the commandments of God, and Agag, they got him over there. They got those men in there, it was contrary to God. Right. When Samuel was in rule, right. The Bible said that when they would not heal that man to pieces, Samuel, the gentle, sweet, loving, kind seer, said, place the sword in my hand. Amen. And Samuel looked at him and said, you've made mothers chalice, and said, your mother's going to be chalice. And zip, zip, and that was it. The Bible said he healed him to pieces. Some of you gentle-natured folks, I'm afraid, couldn't do that. Somebody said, well, praise God, I'm glad God didn't call me to do that. You better wake up. I said, you better wake up. The Bible said that after the tribulation, he's coming back on a white horse, and the redeemed is coming back on white horses. And it won't be a spiritual battle.
Amen.
A devil with a devil. But the Bible teaches that they're going in there and bind Antichrist, and they're going to kill everything. It's got the mark of the beast in their head.
Amen.
And the blood's going to run up to the horse's bridle.
Amen.
The Bible says it will happen.
Amen.
The songwriter said it'd happen just as he said it happened.
Amen.
Just the way he said it would. Glory to God, it's going to happen. I believe in being gentle. I believe in being sweet and humble and kind. I want to be my brother and my sister. But there's a time that you got to be the other way. I don't mean be mean and haughty. But you got to be a man for God. You got to stand up. David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. That's right. One of them prophets over there. All of them was just alike, Brother Tom. Every one of them was just alike. Had a few different characteristics about them, Brother Zell, but it's just alike. Them kings come over, them hard-headed kings, he had talked with them, he had pleaded with them, he had told them everything that they need to do to escape the wrath of God. But do you think they paid any attention? They had their mind on diamonds and pearls and gold and silver. So one, he got confederate with another. Two or three of them got together and said, now let's form a confederation in this thing. That's right. If you ain't got enough in your church, will you come over to my church? Amen. And I'll compromise on part of my doctrine and you compromise on part of your doctrine. And we'll all come together. Then we'll have a jubilee. So the kings, they got together. And they decided to catch one poor king over here unaware, you know. He was a heathen. They're supposed to be the blessed Lord. So let's go over and take everything he had. But when he got over there, he wasn't as big a fool as they thought he was. That's right. Wasn't long before he put them to flight. And they come running back to that prophet and said, we done made a mistake. We done made a mistake. And that prophet was angry. He was upset. The Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. That same great God, that Holy Ghost that came upon them, came upon them kings, and he was angry. Because they wouldn't listen to that prophet and done stirred up strife, done got an army upset at Israel over there that might come in and kill the little children and the women just because of three greedy kings. Not obeying the voice of the Lord. And what was it? Popularity. Fame. That's what the preachers want. Love the praise I read to you here more than the praise of God. The praise of men, they love it.
Amen.
Amen. Want to be praised to men. Want men to think something of them. Want to be something in the world. But the Bible said Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. Amen. He humbled himself unto death and became meek and lowly. And then said to the people, come and learn about me. Come and let me indoctrinate you, he said. I am meek, Jesus said, and lowly in my heart. You will find rest under your soul. Glory to God. I love to see a woman feminist, don't you? Because that's what she is. Amen. Amen. I said, I like that. Praise God. Daddy, he's supposed to rise up, not be mean and haughty, but rise up and say, Junior, I'm going to paddle you and set the seat of your pants on fire. Wop, wop, wop. And then Mama, she comes over and she puts her arms around him. I'm sorry, Junior. Daddy knows what he's doing. He knows best for you. So she cuddles him and she pours in the oil and wine. Amen. So Junior, he grows up a big, strong husky. Glory to God, going to be like my daddy. Amen. When he gets a junior, he paddles seat of his pants too. Amen. We got a good world, a good nation. Amen. But we got some of them when daddy paddles the seat of the pants, mommy, she huffs and she puffs, you know. And as a little pig, so as it just about blows the house in. By the time she gets through, she just about blown the house in. Some of them slings dishes. Some of them turns over chairs. Some of them does a little this, a little that. And finally, Junior decides Daddy's wrong about that thing. After all, Mama's got something to say about it. And Mama tells me Dad didn't have no business doing it. So then Junior becomes a first-class hippie.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ain't long before he gives Daddy a whipping. He feels better about whipping daddy than he does daddy whipping him anyway. Amen. And mama, what has she done? Well, we don't have to go any further, do we? So you understand what I mean? Jesus said, I come to be a light. I'm trying to tell you something, Jesus said. I'm trying to make you understand something. When the spirit of enlightenment comes over you, when the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wooing and the spirit of loving, and when it comes over you and you think different, my brother, my sister, stay in that atmosphere. Don't go back out in the darkness.
Amen.
You'll begin to think wrong. You'll see different. You'll feel wrong. And you'll say, my conscience don't bother me. My conscience don't bother me. But listen, God isn't going to judge you according to your feelings. Isn't that right? Do you think God's going to say, my brother, did you feel the Holy Ghost while you was alive? My daughter, did you feel the Holy Ghost while you was alive? They said, well, I shouted and jumped and hollered. Somebody said, I prophesied too. He said, depart from me, you work iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, we use the terminology. All of us old enough to know what I mean. The Bible said Adam knew his wife. She brought forth a son. Amen. Divine conception. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you.
Amen.
Amen. Till you take on a nature down in there. Glory to God till you become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not my wife. Not my bride. I never knew you. Amen. You're not my children. Bastard children. I don't know anything about you. You never conformed to the ordinance of the church, that mother that I set in the earth. You never obeyed the fatherhood that I set in the earth. You did the thing that you wanted to do. Amen. He said, depart from me. But brother, the Bible said when the great judgment comes, the books was open. He opened the books. Glory to God. He opened the books. He didn't take my word against Brother Boss. He didn't take, according to foreknowledge, Brother Atlas' word against Brother Algandales. He didn't take Al's word against Brother Zell. The Bible said he lined me up and Al up. By the foreknowledge of God, he saw a finished product. He lined them up and the Bible said, he said, bring the books. When the king wanted to know something, they called for the records. They brought the books. Brought the books, he opened the books up and he said, thus it is written. Amen. Jesus said, I come not to condemn the world. I come to save the world. He said, but the words that I speak to you, these are they which shall judge you in the last day. Is your life conforming to it? These kings didn't listen to the prophet and they came back. They came back, but by the time they come back, they've done got the prophets upset. He said, if it wasn't for this king over here, which had obeyed him, he said, if it wasn't for him, he said, I wouldn't even talk with you. He said, I see one fellow over here that's been doing what he was told to do. And said, because of that, said, God's going to have mercy on all three of you.
Hallelujah.
The rain on the unjust, the just suffering for the unjust. That's right. But said, if it wasn't for that, he said, I wouldn't even talk with you. I tell you what, some of you people act up in such a way, God wouldn't even talk with you. He wouldn't even have a conversation with you.
Amen.
Now, maybe me and you don't know the same terminology for the word love. I mean, we don't understand that, you know. But he said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. You say, who is the wicked? Them that go by their own feelings. The carnal mind is enmity with God. And have no feelings about it. Have no conscience over it. Knowing that the word of God is contrary to it. But yet do contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
This is who is the wicked.
Amen.
Amen. That's the wicked.
Amen.
Now you say, well, Brother Pike, why is it that God blesses us that way? Because the only way that he can bless the Christians is to bless you. Now, he's saying, now, Brother Pike, what makes you believe that? Because the Bible says it.
Amen.
You say, you don't believe God's big enough just to bless who he wants to. The Bible said we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity.
Amen.
In iniquity did my mother conceive me. Is that Bible?
Amen.
For God to reach me in my sins,
Amen.
He had to give grace. And when grace come, the devil took advantage of it. Amen. To bring the wheat up, he's got to give the rain. And when the rain comes, the tares take advantage of it. God never intended grace for nobody except the righteous. Amen. Said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. Their prayers is abomination in my sight. Their offering is abomination in my sight. Said, I'll pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. I'll curse the blessings. I cursed them already. So see, you got this thing all misconstrued. All misconstrued. It's the days of grace. But my brother, someday the days of grace is going to be over. My sister, some days the day of grace is going to be over. It's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? He that receiveth you receiveth me and him that sent me. Can you receive it? The Bible said he that can receive it, let him receive it. Amen. If you can hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Not to everybody, but to the church. Not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus said, I have not lost one of them. Amen. Everyone you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. Is that Bible? I want you to stand with me.